A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We never know what's going to happen in the future. We really don't. I mean, Kobe Bryant, a friend of ours, God rest his soul. You know, you think you're going to live forever. We're not. We think we're going to play forever. We're not. What can we do? We can enjoy the moments that we have. And as difficult as it was to lose the game yesterday, I was glad I played in it. And I was glad I was a part of it. And as challenging as the season was, I was glad I played and glad I participated, you know, because I'm living my life. And I'm not just counting the days. So my days are meaningful to me. I'm going to try to keep them meaningful to me. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm going to do as best I can to enjoy, you know, the time that I have not playing football, because that's equally important. Playing football, I get so much joy from. I love it. But not playing football, there's a lot of joy in that for me also now, too, with my kids getting older and seeing them develop and grow. So all these things need to be considered, and they will be. And, you know, the funny part is I always said most guys retire and then move to Florida. I'm already in Florida, so it's really confusing even to me.
I mean, that creep.
What a terrible joke. Give it to me again, Tom. Maybe you work blue, too.
Seriously.
And Tommy Robbins there, too. You can tell that, you know, his friendship or whatever the hell he's got going on with Tony Robbins there, too, is affecting some of his thinking there at the beginning. Look, I love him. He's everything I ever wanted to root for. I've said it a million times. But this is where he becomes, like, unrelatable weirdo. So don't do the Favre thing. We all hate this, no matter what athlete or what sport we're talking about. If you're done, be done. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's not do this.
Okay, phones with you and Greg Bedard. As promised, Sean in Salem, lead us off this hour.
Oh, man, don't let your kids listen to that. It's terrible. Anyway, listen, Greg, I'm not surprised you're from the same school of thought as Bill Belichick. You think, you know, Bill drafting quarterbacks like Jimmy G and Mac Jones was by accident instead of drafting guys like Mahomes, Allen, or Burrows, or whatever, that can win without defense? You know, Bill is, you know, being hard-headed, self-conscious about his worth. And that's why he'll never draft quarterbacks like those three. He's like you, Greg. He wants to prove you need a defense to win and prove he's the greatest defensive mind in the history of football. For that reason, we will never win a championship, and you'll never see a top-rated defense win a championship.
Okay. Strong take. Your response, Greg.
Well, number one, I don't think you need a top-rated defense to win a championship. I think you need a defense that makes some plays and makes some stops. So that's the ideal. But as far as you're criticizing Bill Belichick for drafting Jimmy Garoppolo and Mac Jones and not Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, they don't draft anywhere near those areas.
So let's change it, Greg. So let's change it. They had a chance to draft Lamar Jackson. They didn't. They had a chance to draft Jordan Love. Just put it on the list. I'm just citing the guys that were available to them. So let's make it realistic. Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, they passed on for Jacoby Brissett, didn't they? So you tell me. I mean, is there a reason they didn't draft those players?
Well, I just don't think that they fit their system. Lamar Jackson, I don't know. I mean, I think McDaniels was interested in him, thought he could work in the system. I don't know what Bill thought, but I just don't understand the argument that you're saying because Bill hasn't gone with any of those. Where was Tom Brady drafted?
So I think the caller's point should end
the argument right there.
Greg, the caller's point is that Bill wants to win with a system quarterback versus a superstar quarterback that takes up all that space and energy and money and all of that, and Greg and Bill wants it this way.
And credit.
And if it plays into the ego thing as well, that's on the list. Do you think there's a part to that?
I just disagree with that. I don't know what evidence there is of it. I think that Bill has done what you needed to do. He had an aging quarterback. He took a developmental quarterback with upside, and he was correct, and they trained him the correct way. You know, did I like what they did after the Garoppolo trade? No. I would have gone and gotten the next guy right then. He didn't. I don't know if it was a pity party or was pouting because he didn't want to part with Jimmy or whatever it was, but that's what happened. Then he went out and he got the best quarterback, in my opinion, and probably in Bill's opinion, that he thought fit what they do as a team. I mean, if Mac Jones continues his ascension, he was probably, I don't know, about 15th in the league this year. You know, there, to me, I think he's going to be right around 10 next year. If he keeps going up, you're going to have to give him an extension or not.
So that's the question.
If he buys into the program, fine. But that doesn't necessarily it's not necessarily what's going to happen with him. So I just think, you know, and a lot of these people are poisoned by you, Felger, for you saying these things.
Thank you.
You say these things, and you might be right, Mike. You might. But there's no direct evidence. You're just saying what you think is true, and these people are believing it, and I just don't see any evidence. I think they've done at the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers went late in the first round. The Packers had Brett Favre. They decided to take a chance. Then they trained him up. He was not this quarterback. He sat for 3 years, and then he was really good. They paid him. I mean, I just don't understand it.
So there's two things. You say there's no evidence. I mean, Robert Kraft is on record as saying we don't want the quarterback to take up more than 18% of the salary cap. And you...
That's fine.
And you, among others, have like reported or said that for years, Bill had said behind the scenes, or had said behind the scenes at least once, if not more than once, that he would like to see if he could win without Tom Brady. He'd like that challenge to win without Tom Brady. So
I don't know what that has to do exactly with the quarterback. I mean, look, I mean, it's just common sense. It's just human nature. He has won with Tom Brady. He knows that everybody will hold that to him. You know, about you've only won with Tom Brady. That's the only time you've ever won in your career. So it's natural to be like, well, I'd like to see what I could do with somebody else. Am I that good? I don't know.
Do you think if the Pats had Pat Mahomes, they'd give him $450 million and $45 million a year?
I mean, it would depend on the player. But, yeah, I think they would consider it. Yeah.
No. I mean, Greg, I'm not. I guess I am busting your balls, but I'm not busting them in a mean way. There's a reason you pause there, because you know that they wouldn't, and so and you just want to leave open the possibility, which is fine. I get it, but no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't philosophically. They're opposed.
No, no, wait. Hang on. I will say in my favor, I think Bill is smart enough to realize that if he has a unicorn at certain positions, he will pay them top of the market. He has. He's paid McCourty top of the market. He paid Wilfork top of the market. Yes, they had to point a gun at him basically to get that money, but it happened. Hightower got, you know, near top of the market. You know, they got Gronkowski to buy in early. I mean, that was his own fault. It wasn't the Patriots' fault that he signed basically a 10-year contract.
Not
like an idiot. But I think that Bill, if he realized, like, you know, Tom is a pocket quarterback. He does certain things great, but I think Bill, in my opinion, he's smart enough to say, all right, if I have Patrick Mahomes who does X, Y, and Z, how much is that worth? Everything's evaluation with Bill, and I do think that he's smart enough to at least strongly consider giving him that money, or at least making the case on, hey, if you take this, then we can do X, Y, and Z for you. So, you know, that's the way I sort of see that.
Chase is in Woburn. What do you got, Chase?
Hey, guys. So, quick question for you. In my 20 years of playing, coaching, and watching football, the one thing I've never understood is why teams keep going back to the prevent defensive scheme. Like, I get the concept of it is to keep everything in front of you so no deep balls are allowed or nothing gets behind you, but I don't understand, because it allows for these massive holes in the midfield area and allows teams to get these 25, 30-yard games.
Did you watch the end of the Buccaneers? Did you watch the end of the Buccaneers-Rams game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and they sent an all-out blitz and got torched.
Right. So there's a happy medium in there somewhere.
You can play smart prevent defense.
Right. Like, you know, you can hit a guy at the line
and still play, you know, some variation.
Just get back. And, right, but, I mean, so right. You have two guys back and you have someone to disrupt the route. I mean, there's a way to do that. There's
right.
A, there's a middle path in
and
there.
And you can also blitz without a guy beating you down the field but getting a 45-yard gain. You know, like there's a happy medium in there somewhere, and they both screwed it up.
Pete in the car. Go ahead, Pete.
In order to stem the organizational brain drain and nepotism in the personnel department and the coaching staff, is it time for Kraft to apply the it's better to let someone go 2 years early than 2 years late to Belichick and insert McDaniels as head coach to work with Mac Jones for the next 10 years?
So I'm not ready to do that. I don't think they're ready to do it. I think some fans are ready to do it. But that's how I stand on that. I'm not ready to do it.
No, I'm not.
I think there's zero chance of that. I mean, look, the Krafts are already on record as letting the greatest quarterback go who won a Super Bowl title. Now you're going to let the greatest head coach go, who could also go someplace else and win a Super Bowl title. I mean, talk about tarnishing your legacy. That would be the final note on Robert Kraft's, resume, Hall of Fame resume, and it would not be good.
Bill in Maine, quickly. I'm sorry, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Bill.
Hello.
Bill, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to know what if Patrick Mahomes and Kaplis in his first year, you guys always knock Mac Jones. What did he do his first year?
Okay, Bill, I'm going to let you go. I'll just summarize for Greg. We get this a lot that, you know, Mac Jones will never be Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or whatever. And then Patriots fans want to say, well, Josh Allen sucked as a rookie. And what'd you say about Patrick Mahomes as a rookie? He didn't even play. So why can't Mac Jones improve at the level of those guys? Your answer to that?
Well, I mean, I think that in terms of natural gifts, Mac Jones isn't in the same category with those guys. But I will say, that doesn't mean he can't be a very, very good quarterback in this league for a very long time. I mean, you know, Tom Brady was, you know, he didn't have the strongest arm. He has a better arm than Mac. But I think that Mac Jones can be, in my opinion, his mind, like Brady, is a superpower. Josh Allen can run and is built like an oak tree and can throw it forever. Patrick Mahomes is as creative an offensive mind and playmaker as you'll ever see. Those are their superpowers. Mac Jones is his mind. I would say Mahomes is there. I don't think Josh Allen has the same mind as Mac Jones, but I think that Mac Jones, with his what he has physically and his ability, and it's only going to increase year after year, just like Tom Brady, he is going to be able to be a very good quarterback in this league because he can combine his natural gifts, and he does have some, and you know, with what he has above his shoulders and his competitive level, you put all that together, that can be a very good quarterback in this league.
Greg Bedard is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi's Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. 10 questions next.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
A good loss, we'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Maz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5. Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions with Greg Bedard is presented by Granite City Electric. Electrical contractors out there, get on board the GCE Night Train. Order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site the following morning and save time and money. Go to GCENightTrain.com. 10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to stay on time. Jimmy, what are our options? Jameson, how do you pronounce that first name?
Jameson Williams.
Why am I such a moron? Why can't I even pronounce Jameson? Because I'm a moron. Next. My idea is the best, and if you don't think so, you got a big dump in your pants.
You bet. Next.
Okay, well, there we go. That's progress. That's called finding a solution.
That's a fresh buzzer option right there.
You are capital P, capital O, capital R, capital K, capital E, capital D, port.
There's no C in there, Patriots fans. Next.
Yeah, people who hunt MILFs.
I feel like you would be one of those hunters, too.
Oh, I would love the MILF porn. Hey, that was, don't know how we got on that, but hit it. Next.
Yeah, people who hunt MILFs.
I feel like you would be one of those hunters, too.
Oh, I would love the MILF porn. All right, number 10. What was your number one best favorite play from the weekend?
I thought it was the 4th and 6th Allen scramble. I mean, that was just an incredible play to elude, I think, you know, two rushers and then beat them to the edge. I thought it was an incredible individual play.
I would say any one of Allen's scrambles for a first down, that guy, or runs for that guy's an animal. You talk about building the perfect beast. How do you bring that guy down? Unstoppable.
Sorry, Mike, but it's the block punt by San Francisco. I mean, before that, that fourth down play, they get stopped. I figure that game's over. And if it's not Brady I'm rooting for, I'm rooting for Funny. And that was hands down the funniest play of the weekend because you just knew at some point the Packers special teams was going to be their undoing, and there it was.
No. The funniest play of the weekend, and my favorite, was the Rams center snapping the ball 15 yards down the field to midfield just after Brady put it on the ground and you thought that game was over. No, that was my favorite play. Next.
You are capital P, capital O, capital R, capital K, capital E, capital D, port.
Number 9, what was your least favorite, worst play from the weekend, Greg?
That Chiefs tight end option play when they were 5 yards away from scoring a touchdown. It cost them points. It could have cost them the game. I thought that was an awful, awful play call.
Sean McMoron kicking off at the end of that game. You, I can't call him that. You dipstick. You complete dope kicking off. Dumb.
The Stafford bomb to Cooper Kupp to kick me and the rest of the Bradyites right in the crotch. All hopes and a week's worth of blowing that was going to be so deserved. Poof, gone in an instant.
I co-sign next.
Okay, well, there we go. That's progress. That's called finding a solution.
Number 8, Greg, thoughts on the taunting penalties called in that Tampa Bay-LA game?
I had no problem with them, especially. Are you including the Brady one in that?
Yes,
or no?
Yes. You bet. Okay, yeah, right. So okay. I meant unsportsmanlike conduct ones. Yes.
Okay. I thought Brady deserved it. You can't get in the grill of an official. He got right in the grill. I don't care if you're pointing to your boo boo on your lip or what. You cannot do that, and so he should have gotten a flag.
I hated them. Just it's a playoff game. Would you let him play? Let them play, and I know they've been calling this all year. Neither one of them was all that bad. Just let it go.
Ridiculous, and the one specifically on Brady, and what Son of Hockey Lee said afterwards, like, oh, I was offended. It was proof that Son of Hockey Lee was trying to make it all about himself. Jail the refs.
All three-word joke. I would jail him on that one. Extradite him, whatever. Ball gag him. Just shut up, Hockey Lee. But all three of them, oh, Ndamukong Suh, look, and like I have no individual sympathy for Ndamukong Suh or Tom Brady or any of this, but you can't point. Don't point. No pointing. Wait, were you in kindergarten? He gets a flag for pointing. Brady gets a call for just complaining about a call. And Barrett, I think, was the third one when he threw his helmet near the sideline. He wasn't quite off the field, but he was near the sidelines. Oh, for Pete's sake, what is this, grade school? Hockley, you moron? It's the playoffs. I hated him. Next. Jameson, how do you pronounce that first name?
Jameson Williams.
Why am I such a moron? Why can't I even pronounce Jameson? Okay, breaking news today. Sean Payton stepping down from the Saints, says he's retiring. Do you believe that he's retiring? And what do you think is up with Sean Payton, Greg?
I think he is retiring for now, but I think he is going to sit out a year, maybe do television. And I think he's just waiting for the day that Mike McCarthy gets fired in Dallas and he slides in there. And they're going to have to trade for him. But I would do that if I'm Jerry Jones. And I think Peyton would love that and wants to be there.
I don't believe for a second it's as simple as him just, you know, I don't want to coach anymore.
Wanting to spend more time with his family?
God,
has he tried
please.
That one yet?
It's a lie. It's a complete lie. It's one of like three things. He's not getting along with Loomis or ownership. He hates his quarterback, which, or they could all be true. Or he's got some sort of personal problem that requires, like, rehab. Okay? And I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying.
He's got a history.
Right. Something that requires him to, like, you know, disconnect from the world.
That team has no answer at quarterback, and they have like cap issues, and I know that can be maneuvered, blah 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 blah, but I think he wants out of there. He'll sit out this year, do broadcasting, and like Greg said, he'll be with Dallas in like 2023.
He's going to Dallas this year. Next. My idea is the best, and if you don't think so, you got a big dump in your pants. Speaking of which, Greg, would you change the overtime format? And if so, to what?
I would, and I'm open to going to the college OT rules just because I want to give defenses a little bit of a shot where they just need to make, you know, one play instead of defending the whole field. But I'm up for your option. My number one option is your option. Play 10-minute overtime period.
No sudden death.
No.
Nope.
Leave it. I like it the way it is. No.
I like it the way it is in the regular season now. I would change it for the postseason to a 10-minute overtime period.
I wouldn't change it, but I did like Mike and Woburn's suggestion yesterday that the first coin toss ultimately determines who gets it first in overtime, so there's some strategy towards the end of the game.
It's right. Just right. The opening coin toss determines the first half kickoff, the second half kickoff, and the overtime kickoff if it comes to it. I don't mind that as well, but my proposal is, again, just take out the sudden death element. Just play a 10-minute period. And again, if you disagree with me, you got a big steaming dump in your pants. Next.
Yeah, people who hunt MILFs.
I feel like you would be one of those hunters, too.
Oh, I'd love the MILF porn. Number five, who was the biggest tool bag of divisional weekend, Greg?
Rodgers. And by the way, Mike, I don't know if you've heard what he said today on the McAfee show,
God,
but he said, quote, "I've never played better in the face of such an adverse year, and I'm very proud of that."
Oof.
To just top it all off.
This guy loves to just stroke himself, doesn't he?
Have you ever seen more stroking and less winning?
Seriously.
In your life?
Wow, boy, does he love himself. Holy mackerel, it happens every week. That's like the Aaron Rodgers stroke show, that visit with McAfee. It is. It's all he does is stroke himself.
Stroke show, is that your answer?
Yeah.
No. What was the question? Biggest tool bag?
Yeah, tool bag.
Hockley. Hockley, son of Hockley. Freaking tool.
Bruce Arians for that dumb blitz against the Rams to blow the end of that game.
It's Rodgers next.
You are capital P, capital O, capital R, capital K, capital E, capital D, port.
What's the best landing spot for Davante Adams? Who needs him the most? Where should he go? Give me a good spot as a free agent.
Chargers. They have $50 million in cap space. Justin Herbert. Ooh. It's L.A. Ooh. I'm going there.
Ooh. Assuming the quarterback stays, Tampa Bay.
Ooh, another good one.
Put him with Brady.
Oh, I like it.
I say Baltimore. Ravens haven't done enough to help Lamar Jackson. Needs a star receiver. Hollywood Brown. That tight end Mark Andrews, not enough. Go to the Ravens.
He'd be wasted in Baltimore. Those other two, ooh, those are tasty. I'll co-sign on those. Next.
Okay, well, there we go. That's progress. That's called finding a solution.
The USFL announced yesterday that their season opener in April will be simulcast on two networks, NBC and Fox. Not the NBC Sports Network, which is done. Not the Peacock, although there will be games on Peacock later. Not FS1 or FS2. No. Simulcast on two major networks, NBC and Fox. Just a jumping off point for me to ask you, what was your favorite original USFL team or player?
By the way, first off, I just wanted to say that I was the biggest USFL nerd when it opened.
Not
I was
bigger than
10
me.
Years old.
Not bigger than me.
I would clip the newspaper. I think somewhere,
Greg?
I still have the special section,
Greg?
From the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Oh, yep. My God. I got the Sports Illustrated when they first had the helmets and the logos on it. I'm telling you, I will go toe-to-toe with you on USFL trivia any day of the week and destroy you. I used to go up to the attic.
Probably will.
After year one, they stopped broadcasting in Milwaukee. But if I went to my attic and put the hangers a certain way, I could get the Chicago broadcast of the Chicago Blitz. I started doing this in year two. That's how freaking nuts I was about this thing. But anyway, answer. What was your favorite team or player?
Felger had USFL porn. My favorite team was the Philly Stars, and because of the running back, Kelvin Bryant. I loved Kelvin Bryant.
Great player.
I can't believe he said that's who mine is. Kelvin Bryant, Philadelphia Stars. He was a stud. Boy, was he fun to watch. He was great.
I was a wee lad when it existed, so I'm exempt. But that said, Jeff Perlman's book in the league that came out a few years ago was awesome. Football for a book.
Okay. I mean, I liked it all. I consumed it all. But I had a special place in my heart for the Michigan Panthers and Bobby Hebert and Anthony Carter. They lit it up. They were terrific.
Yep.
I've never been a big Flutie fan, but I liked him with the Jersey Generals. I thought that was sort of a fun kind of thing. It was fun seeing him there, him and Herschel Walker in the same backfield. The league was fun. I mean, I'm glad it's back. It's not going to be nearly the same. They're all playing the games in one place in Birmingham, Alabama, and I think it's all sort of co-owned by the networks and whatever. But either way, it's the same uniform, same logos and everything, so it will be a little bit of a blast from the past. All right, way too much time on that. I'm sorry. Next. Jameson, well, how do you pronounce that first name?
Jameson Williams.
Why am I such a moron? Why can't I even pronounce Jameson? Number two, why do the Packers and Aaron Rodgers suck so badly at home in the playoffs?
Because Rodgers and those players are enabled by their coaches where they just sit around and they say, oh, you know, we were so great this year. Let me win regular season stuff and look at our record and look at the MVP trophies. And nobody really pushes each other. They don't say it's not good enough. They love to rest on their laurels there and stroke each other, and they end up just getting, you know, just the, handed to them in the playoffs.
Let me ask you something. They don't really practice outside, do they? Aren't they always in that Hudson Center?
Mm-hmm. McCarthy is famous for it. Those West Coast guys, they love the perfect conditions for their perfect offenses. And then once they go outside, oh, it doesn't really work like that. We're not just on turf anymore.
They practice inside a ton. Yes, Murray, next. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, Mass.
Aaron Rodgers is selfish at his core. I think it infects the team. I think ultimately they don't bond together and win.
Yeah, I just think that they're more bothered by the elements than the opposition. That game Saturday night, I thought it was clear. The Niners embraced the snow and the cold, and the Packers seemed bothered by it.
Last one.
Yeah, people who hunt MILFs.
I feel like you would be one of those hunters, too.
Oh, I love the MILF porn. Give me the Super Bowl you want, Greg, and then the Super Bowl we'll get.
I want 49ers-Bengals, first of all, to bring me back to my childhood. Second of all, to annoy you, because it wouldn't all be about the offense, those two teams. But I think we're going to get Chiefs-Rams.
See, so that's proof, right? That the quarterbacks matter. That's exactly proof.
No, it's not proof.
Yes, it is. Rams
Settle
Chiefs.
Down.
I want Rams Chiefs. We're getting Rams Chiefs.
They're just better. They're just better teams.
I have the same answer as Greg. I want the repeat of 88 Bengals Niners. We're getting Chiefs Rams, which is going to be nauseating but entertaining.
81.
So I agree with all of it. And just for the storyline, I'll root for Garoppolo again. But if I had a nickel for everyone who said I rooted against them just because of you, I'd be a rich man today. And I understand that rationale 100%. All right, back to your phones with Bedard right now.
Hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials. Gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full-service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required. And yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations. I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.
Still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your phones with Greg Bedard, as promised. Wayne in Yarmouth on Aaron Rodgers. What do you got there, Wayne?
Well, Mike, your disdain for Rodgers is understandable because he hasn't won enough Super Bowls. But look at what he's had. You know, heading up this team through the McCarthy mess and now this current fruitcake that's in charge. And you know, what if, question, he had a Belichick all these years? How many Super Bowls do you guys think he would have won?
Yeah, I think he would have won more with Bill. But that doesn't let him off the hook. Hit two straight years, they had the one seed. They had the bye. They had teams coming into Lambeau from freaking Florida and California. You can't lay it out any better for the guy the last couple. You want to let him off the hook for some earlier in his career? You know, they lost an overtime coin flip in Seattle. They dropped an onside kick and lost the overtime coin flip in Seattle in 2014.
He was good in that game, too.
Hard for me to blame him on that one. So there's some I'll let him off the hook and say he didn't have a team when they lost in Atlanta that year. They didn't have much of a team. 3 years ago when they lost in San Francisco, they weren't quite ready. Like, I'm not blaming him for all of them. The last 2 years, you can't punch through these last 2 years with home field and the one team in the NFC with the bye, with warm weather teams coming into Lambeau. That's freaking pathetic.
I mean, it couldn't have possibly been lined up for them any better than it was this
and
year.
And they have good teams. Those teams are – the Packers the last couple of years, they've got good talent on both sides of the ball. They're good.
Their defense is good. And they – look, what did they
Mike, score? What you always –
10 points.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, they get 10 points. You get the best quarterback and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you get 10 points at home in a playoff game?
Oh,
no good.
Go ahead, Greg.
What people are missing, like Wayne, you know, they bring up Rodgers, and if he played for Belichick, you also have to bring up, like, I don't think that the two would have coexisted. Aaron came into this league, thinking that, first of all, that he was slighted by everybody, and then that he's smarter than everybody, and that he also, McCarthy had a lot to do with his development and his change from his mechanics where he came out of Cal to where he is, and he did not like having to admit that, but it's true. And then he always thought he was the smartest guy, and that, you know, McCarthy was dumb, his coaches held him back, or his teammates, he entered the league, you know, as the starting quarterback after Favre, and people forget he was 10-14. He was 6-10, 4-4, lost to a terrible Tampa team down there when I covered the team. And it took, there was a players only meeting. Some of the coaches were in there, but it took Aaron Rodgers' own teammates to call him out and say, "You stop playing hero ball. Like, this isn't about you, Aaron. Get rid of the freaking ball. Stop taking sacks so we can move the ball." So, it would have been nice if he was coached by Bill Belichick, but that doesn't mean it would have worked here.
Oh, I don't think they would have made it long. No way. Brady made it 19 years or whatever. Rodgers would have lucky, and Bill would have made it 9. Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Hey, Greg, I have a question for you for the overtime rule that I was very disappointed to hear that you agreed with Felger. The guy that wants to bring out the cages and the dad to pitch baseballs.
We don't cross sports streams.
Thank you. Don't cross sports.
Oh, come on, Felger. Come on that one, right? But you said you like the shootout. You like the shootout in hockey and all
yes.
that stuff.
What does this have to do with football overtime?
No, because you want to go home early, and you said it before. So why do you want to?
I've never said that with football. I don't cross sports. This is why we don't cross sports. Baseball games need to end. I need this baseball
Correct.
Game to end. Please, would you stop playing baseball? I need the game to end. Football, I don't need the game to end. Football can take as long as it needs. Okay, it's once a week. They're special events. We all feel the same way. We don't care that football games drag on. The commercials get annoying, but it's not like you're sitting there for 3.5 hours and you're like, "Oh my God, will this game end?" You never say that. Baseball, you say it every game. Throw the effing ball. Please end this game. It's different. It's why we don't cross sports, caller. Please. So annoying.
The idea that someone would ever compare overtime in football to me to extra innings is like beyond belief.
Sean in Dorchester. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. Yeah, just wanted to call in about Brady quick. Obviously, he's using the family thing, which you guys think is fake. But, you know, if it is true, that's maybe the thing that's pulling him away. But the difficulty I have with listening to him talking about retiring is he's still at the top of his game. He's still playing incredibly well. A lot of guys walk away because they can't do it anymore. He's still doing it. And if you think back to Felger, sorry, going to cross sports quick. Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, they asked him if it was good if he retired at his peak. He said it was maddening. He hated it. He couldn't stand it. And I think Brady's cut from that same cloth. Why would he want to retire when he can still compete for championships?
Yes, it's so true. Most 90% of guys don't leave until they're told to leave. They hang on to the bitter end. Paul Pierce, I'm sorry I'm crossing sports. Played for the Nets and the Clippers. Didn't he go to like 3 or 4 different teams? We don't even remember it. But you had to drag him out of the league. It's the life. 90% of pro athletes have to be told to leave. And then I would, you know, narrow that down to say 99% don't leave when they're good. They may leave on their own accord, but they know it's over. Who leaves when they're still good? No one. Jordan the first time, maybe, you know, like it's 1 in a million. So I think that's going to apply to Brady in some way, shape, or form himself. He's not going anywhere.
No, he doesn't want to retire. He just might not want to play for Tampa Bay.
He's playing again.
He said he's going to play until he sucks. He doesn't suck. He's arguably the MVP of the league this year. I think he's going to be back. I think he should be back.
Okay, final thoughts with Bedard in our long commercial-free segment, right?
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
I'm going to say this. Referees should not be inserting themselves into games. When you get to a championship level, it's supposed to be decided by the players. You must have rabbit ears. The best NBA officials, the best boxing officials, the best NFL officials ignore it. You kidded around about ignoring this for 22 years last week on Let's Go, but it wasn't ignored yesterday. What is your feeling on that? I've made mine clear.
I obviously felt like, you know, I got hit, you know, on the chin, and I felt like he missed, in the end, a clear penalty. So I screamed at him to throw the flag, and he did, but I guess I need to be more specific with who he needs to throw the flag on. So I got a nice bruise under my chin, and, you know, it's part of football, and we overcame it, and it is the first time in 22 years to get flagged. That was pretty comical to me. The referees have a difficult job, but at the same time, you know, the players have a difficult job too. So, you know, we're all trying to do the best we could do. If I feel like, you know, they miss a call, I want to let the guy know, you know, and I've done that literally 1,000 times over the course of my career and never got called. And, you know, in this instance, you know, before I could realize it, the flag was thrown. And I was looking at the guy like, are you kidding me? Are you, you know, I didn't cuss. I didn't do any of those things other than identify to him that, but whatever, you know, the good part is we overcame it. I threw a completion to Leonard Fournette on the next play and moved on. But, you know, it's a, I just kind of shake my head at it.
You know, a lot of different angles to that. I think it was a ridiculous flag on the part of Hockley. I thought all three that they threw on the Bucks were just ridiculous for a playoff game.
I like tough guy Jim Gray there, though, at the beginning. Let me white knight for you, Tom. That Sean Hockley is a no-good son of a bitch. And he brings a knife, I bring a gun. And if he brings a gun, he better kill me, because I'll keep coming back until he's dead. I'm going to protect you, Tom. Like, all right, calm down.
So I thought the
I'm going to say this.
So I thought the flags were dumb. Then again, it's good to see Brady finally get his comeuppance for bitching the way he bitches and
all the time
lobbying for calls. Yep. So, I mean, there's still a part of me that says, good, you finally got one. So there's that angle. I agree with Jim Murray that he had this sort of look on his face, like this vacant look on his face in this game. And I thought that was a sequence that woke him up. And he mentioned it there that he overcame it with the ball to Fournette. Remember that ball over
the great throw,
the ball over the top that he dropped into Fournette with the one-handed catch. And that was for the first time all game. I said, all right, finally, you woke up. Like, let's go, Tommy, but play. And so like that, maybe that woke him up a little bit. But then, you know, all the shots we got of Tommy coming off the field with the little bloody lip, like, oh, would you please, for Pete's sake, with this. Now we're going to play this thing up, Mr. Tough Guy, coming off the field, blood and guts, Tommy Brady, with a little cut, like, oh, my God, my wife can't stand it every time I get hit with the little cut on the lip. Like, oh, God, I you know. So I go, like, back and forth on the thing because half of me wants to puke.
I had trouble deciding who to root for because the Brady bitching at the refs wears me out, and son of Hockley's impossible to root for.
All right, so anyway, here, let's see. Let's give me a call or two to send Bedard on his way. How about Dan in Chicago on Mac Jones and the Patriots? Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys, how are we doing? Felger, great point. We don't want to pay a quarterback over 18%. Been saying for years you can't win a Super Bowl if your quarterback's been making that much money. Russ Wilson was on his rookie deal.
Hold on. You're not being sarcastic. You're being serious. So, hold on. Stop talking. Do you think the Chiefs are dumb to give Patrick Mahomes that contract? They're wrong to give him that contract.
I don't think they're wrong, but he won the Super Bowl on his rookie deal, and this year his cap hits only 5% of the salary cap. So
you've
a quarterback
got to be...
in the last 20 years hasn't been making...
So stop talking. Answer the question. The Chiefs are wrong to give Patrick Mahomes that contract, or they're in a bad spot because they have Patrick Mahomes signed long-term. Are they in a
No, I don't think they're wrong. I just think your point of paying Mac over, we don't need to pay him 18%. We can still give him a solid extension and not wipe out all our assets. And then Maz likes to say, we have an extra 800 grand to give all of our fucking gunners.
Okay, so wait a minute. So I'm sorry.
Now that word's not even like gray.
This is obviously like a trigger for me, the cap thing and the money thing. I don't know if Dan understands that I'm mocking it.
No, I don't think he does.
Somehow the Chiefs and Bills are in a bad spot, folks, because those guys make $40 million a year.
Oh, no, they're stupid.
That's what the Patriots want you to believe. That's what a lot of media in this town will sell to you, and a lot of you buy it. And that, to me, sends me into orbit.
Correct. Yep. In fact, the Bengals are going to be stupid, too.
Dumb.
Because they're going to pay Burrow?
No, the Chiefs, well, they're in big trouble, man.
Yep.
Chiefs are in big trouble, and so are the Bills.
I think the term you're looking for is fiscal cliff.
Big trouble, those teams. They got good quarterbacks, and they had to pay for them. And they take up more than 18% of the cap.
Dumb.
Big trouble, those two teams.
Dumb. Who wants a great quarterback? Dumb.
Wouldn't want to be them. Here's Marquise in the car. Go ahead, Marquise.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I can now see why Mac Jones went 15 in the draft. Just doesn't have that it factor. If you watch the Chiefs and the Bills game, there were things Patrick Mahomes and Allen was doing that you can't teach. Those are not coachable throws or run or throws on a run. I just want to hang up and get you guys a point on that.
Greg, I'll let you take this one.
I mean, I disagree to a point. I think that, and not to sound like a Patriots fan, I will say you can't judge Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, who have been in the league for a while, to a rookie quarterback. You just can't. And a rookie quarterback dealing with limited weapons who were also new to the Patriots system. I think in a lot of ways, you look at the metrics of the Patriots. I mean, they were sixth in points. Mac Jones was about middle of the pack in their passing offense and their offense in general in terms of metrics across the board, about middle of the pack. And quite frankly, you know, right around where the Bills were in terms of their passing offense, in terms of metrics this season. I think that, you know, I think that Mac Jones has the ability with development and with a few better pieces around him and their development within the system to be a very good quarterback and certainly good enough to win with if you have a well-rounded team. Is he capable of carrying a team on his back? No. And I don't think that Tom Brady was really capable of that either. I don't think Patrick Mahomes at times has been capable of that. Certainly not Josh Allen. I think it all came together, you know, for Allen largely this year with his weapons and the defense and things like that. So I think the Patriots are just fine. I don't think they need a unicorn at quarterback to win, you know, maybe to be there where Felger wants them to be every year. Maybe you need that type, but I think that Mac Jones can be that top 10, top 7 type of quarterback with development over the next 2 to 3 years.
Greg, when you say we can't compare Mac Jones as a rookie to these guys now, what about after year two? Because I know that you believe year two is a big developmental year for a quarterback especially.
No, not for a quarterback in this system. You're talking, I mean, what year's Josh Allen? He's already gotten his extension.
Yeah, but Greg, didn't
Mahomes
you say
has gotten his extension.
But didn't you say that Josh Allen was an exception, that usually you see it in year two with a quarterback?
No. I said you can usually see it very early on whether they've got it or not. I think from what I've seen from Mac Jones as a rookie, I think he has it. I don't know he has it, but I think with development on the right track, I think that he has it. Mahomes was different. You saw, well, I mean, he sat largely his rookie year, but as soon as he played or got chances to play, you could see it. But I don't think anybody who says, you know, even Allen in year two didn't open eyes. I mean, if you were making your decision on Josh Allen after year two, you would have drafted another quarterback if you were the Bills.
No, Heath popped year three. But either way, Greg, thanks again for another stint. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye, folks, Greg. Give Greg a listen or a subscription at Boston Sports Journal. Coming up next hour, we will continue with your Patriots calls and your NFL calls. This is still a lot to parse through from that weekend. We do just want to mix in a little bit on David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame, which is coming your way at 6:15 tonight. I know Maz has some thoughts. I have some thoughts. Shaughnessy was on Toucher and Rich this morning and had some really interesting comments that I want to play for you. Give you a quick Bruins minute as well. So we'll mix that all together and do it right after Murray's 90-second update. There was breaking news across the NFL this afternoon. Here it is. No commercials.
Hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials. Gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full-service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required, and yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations, I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.